God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
If you don't change, you'll miss something. Listen to God. Don't even pay any attention to your own dreams, which you cause to be dreams. Many people say, I'm called into ministry. You called yourself. God didn't call you. Say, how do you know? Well, the first sign that you can know that God didn't call the person is when they begin to gather the people to them. God called us to oneness. You do not get behind the pulpit and bash leaders. You lift Jesus and speak against sin, but not people. Jesus said, I'm not in a position to judge anybody. When Jesus is no longer lifted, when the focus is off of him, prayer goes. When the leader begins to pull you away from prayer and prayer, Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. Prayer is not a ministry. Prayer is the church. When prayer goes, that person is not called of God. These are but a few. But watch what God says. Verse 10, God says, for thus saith the Lord, after 70 years are accomplished, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. The King James says, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The NIV says, to give you hope. Why is this important? Because God is saying, the end that I have for you is hopeful. Pentecostals, this is where we miss it in most instances. Our preaching and our teaching does not give us hope. You know, we love, tell it like it is. Tell the truth. That's right. But the truth should give you hope. I don't want to preach you into hell and leave you there. Amen. I want to tell you what hell is and then tell you how you can avoid it. I want to tell you that God hates sin, but then I want to tell you what he did to remove it. I don't want you to walk out of here beating yourself up and calling yourself no good. I want you to walk out of here saying, I may have some deficiencies, but God sent Jesus to fix every problem in my life. Hallelujah. I may still have a problem with smoking, but every day I'm getting better. And you know what? One day that bad habit is going to be gone. I want you to know God said, my plan is designed to give you hope. Pastor may not see everything, and you may not understand all of the pastor's decisions, but have hope in knowing that he's being led of the Lord. And if he does miss it, we have pastoral staff. We have people that I'm accountable to who will speak into my life. So I'm not this independent leader who just goes off and does whatever he wants to do. I submit to godly men who will tell me to sit down if my life isn't right. And I will say, yes, sir, and sit down. Because you cannot lead others unless there's somebody over you. You cannot do it. You develop arrogance and pride. So what must I do now? Well, if you understand that the wineskins that used to be new, that's your new experiences in life, they're now old, cracked, and dry. If you understand that your sandals and your clothes are worn out by the long journey, how long have we been waiting for a World Series in Philadelphia? How long have we been waiting for entrance into the Super Bowl? We're coming up on the 50th Super Bowl. The 50th Super Bowl. 1966 was the first one. Couple times out of 50 years, two times. You know, you can name other teams. What's wrong with us? How many times have we won the NBA championship ring? But you see, you got to understand that when you are programmed to lose, you will lose. And God said, my thoughts towards you are to help you win. And frankly, he's tired of us losing. And I say that parenthetically, God doesn't get tired, but he's tired of us losing. I want you to see something here. And if you don't change your mind,
You're going to remain in the position of mediocrity. And let me tell you, successful people, you should study successful people. There was a program on television. It's not a lot to watch as a Christian, but there was a series of programs, like a mini-series on television about the men who built America. And it told us about the story of Rockefeller and J.P. Morgan and Ford. And these were people whose inventions and tenacity helped to build the industrialized world. Amen. Rockefeller found that when he began his oil campaign, the first oil well was found in Titusville, Pennsylvania, and he was living in Ohio. And when the oil migrated over into that area, when they started finding in that area, and he tapped in on it just for the purpose of developing kerosene, because America was growing, and he was a visionary man, and he began to realize what was happening. So he moved into the oil, and then he built the pipeline to transport his oil, because the owners of the railroad company wanted too much money, and he said, Don't you know in the Chinese language, there are two signals, two characters for the word danger. One is opportunity, and the other has to do with the danger itself. But what is he saying? In every dangerous situation, there's an opportunity. And so when they told him they were going to charge him more to transport his oil, he stood out in the field and looked at the field and decided to build a pipeline. And these guys, they were doing great, 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 great things. And I noticed one thing about John Rockefeller. He used to tithe to his little Baptist church, and he kept a record of it. And his great, great, great grandson has that record. This man tithed. That's why God made him a billionaire. He tithed. He went for it. He said, I'm just going to do it. You know why you're broke? Listen, visionary people change their minds and they make positives out of negatives. A man walked into the back of Henry Ford's auto plant and he saw these wooden crates back there. He looked at these crates and he says, man, there are literally thousands of these oak crates back here. He took those crates and he decided that he would burn the crates and see what would come out of the burned crates. He burned the oak. It was like a 3-inch by 4-inch oak board, and he burned it down, and he noticed that what came out of the burned oak was something that he could use. That man's name was Kingsford. The product he invented was charcoal that came from somebody else's trash. Down through the years, you see God has blessed people to create things that you are still using this day. But when did he stop inventing? He didn't. We stopped dreaming. You are slaves to computers, to cell phones, to iPads and all types of media, but not one Christian, not one born-again believer is seeking to get into that market and change it for Jesus. Worldly people are making Bible apps. Why can't one of you, technical people, make an app that when you touch it, all it says is, Jesus is Lord. Drive the devil crazy. Then reach an agreement with Apple that it's going to go on everybody's phone when they buy it. And then set it up so that no other app works until that one kicks in. You go to send a sex text, and it comes back, Jesus is Lord. Why don't we do that? Why? Because we're comfortable, watch, letting everybody else take care of us. We love it when everybody else takes care of us. Our employers take care of us. The government takes care of us, but we have not migrated to the place where God can take care of us. We won't let him, because the moment he steps in to change your financial picture, you panic and blame the people who made the change. Watch this. You're working at a job, you're making $25 an hour. The supervisor, the boss, or whatever comes over and says, we're taking you to $30 an hour. What will you say if you're a Christian? Hallelujah. Thank God. What else? Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Because they took you from 25 to 30. What will you say? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God. But what if that same boss comes to you and says, we're going to take five from you? What will you say? The devil is a lie. Now, that's your socialization. That's why I wrote that book about the Christian and the culture, and you need to read that. Because we have become trapped by the culture to the fact that we have lost our distinctiveness. Do you understand that when God allows that same world to give you something, when he allows them to take it, he's setting you up. But you don't see it that way. You say, the devil is a lie. Okay, watch. How do you know God gave you the increase? How do you know it was God that gave you the increase? Because here's what you do when you get the increase. You buy more. You buy a bigger house. You get a bigger car. You buy more based on what you have. God knows you're going to lose that more in 5 years. So why would he push you into a place that you can't support financially? The Bible doesn't say the increase of the Lord makes it rich. He said the blessings of the Lord. And the blessings of the Lord are not tied in to how much. Uh-oh. Boy, the amens were moving before. Oh, all I hear, Lord, is increase. In what? In what? Somebody comes to you and says, I'm going to give you $50 an hour to work on this job. But you have to work every Sunday. You have to work every Wednesday. And you cannot bring your Bible on the premises. No. And if you successfully do this, I'm going to give you $100 an hour at the end of your probation period. $100 an hour. And all you have to do is work every Sunday from 7 to 7, work every Wednesday from 3 to 11, and you cannot bring your Bible or anything that's biblical. Not your cell phone, not your iPad, not your iPod. Nothing for $100 an hour. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord is blessing me, saints. Would you take it? Don't say anything. A wise man said, if you ever want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. But that's the culture that we live in. Satan is not trying to get you to curse God and just stand there and say, there is no God, Jesus is not Lord. All he's doing is filling us with thoughts, dreams, and visions that are contrary to the plan. Say, so how do I know the plan? Do you have peace? Do you have hope? There are people that come to me, they say, Pastor, I'm going to move to ABC City. Do you know a church where I can go? That's backwards. God wouldn't lead you to ABC City until he has already found a place to plant you. But we are so enthused about going to ABC City that we get down there and say, there ain't no church like Bethel. I've been looking around. I can't find one. Then God didn't lead you down there. You went because you wanted to go. So just tell the truth. I didn't ask God. I just left. And now I need you to find me a place. If I could find you a place down there, I'd be there myself. People ask me, they said, I'm in Orlando. Where can I go to church? I tell them to look for Pastor Mark Sharona. And that's only because I know him. I'm not a church directory. If God is leading you, then he will put you where you need to be. A man drove here once from Denver, Colorado, and came to 2901, was directed to 2901 from Denver, Colorado. Sat with me and said these words. I'm moving to this area, and before I get to this area, I asked the Lord, where could I worship? And he told me to come here and talk to you. He did that with a man from Nigeria. That man left his homeland. God said, go to Pennsylvania, go to such and such and such and such, find this man, talk with him before you make your move. Now, why is he doing that for all these strangers and not for his people? Us. Because we're set. We're set in our way of, I'm going to do what I want and bring God behind me. God said, I got the plan. I have the plan. You know what we do? The other week I was looking at houses just out of curiosity because I'm not moving, but I just was looking at a print for a new house. Somebody sent me a blueprint. And the first thing I started doing was looking at things to change. And I said, well, if I'm going to change all this, why would I even ask for his print? Why don't I just tell him what I want and let him draw it based on what I want? Why would I take all of his hours of work and change it to what I want? Well, you know how we are. Well, you know, you got to make your own changes. And he just drew the stock. Well, then why not go in and tell him what I want? And that's how we treat God. God said, I have the plan for your life. You're trying to change what you don't like. You want everybody to like you, but I've already told you they're going to hate you. You want everybody to get along with you, but I've already told you there are going to be some people that are going to talk about you. Why do you want me to kill everybody that talks about you? If God killed everybody that talked about me, I'd have no members in Bethel. Just some visitors. Do you understand what I'm saying? What is God's plan? Here's the plan. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. There is a time for everything. There is a right time for everything. And here's the grace of God. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to destroy and a time to rebuild, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to hug and a time not to hug. A time to find and a time to lose. A time for keeping and a time for throwing away. A time to tear, I like that. A time for keeping and a time for throwing away, which means you shouldn't hoard. Hoarding represents stuff that has stayed longer than its time. You say, Pastor, how do I know this is out of time? You're not using it. If you've gone 6 months without using that instrument, get rid of it. You've already proven you don't need it. Our lives are so cluttered that we now have classes on how to get rid of the clutter. People actually go to seminars on how to get rid of clutter. Here's my question. Why do you have so much clutter? Even in our spirits, they're cluttered. What's the famous phrase we use when we go into the closet and the closet is full of clutter? What'd you say? I can't find a thing. And you're looking at things, but you can't find a thing. Here's what you're saying. I can't find what I'm looking for. That is the definition of clutter. When you cannot find what you're looking for. When your spirit is cluttered, you can't find the will of God. You cannot find the will of God. So what do? You stumble around in your own will. And until you change your mind and say, I'm going to get rid of all this clutter. I'm going to throw out everything that's keeping me from finding the will of God. Watch. A time for keeping, a time for throwing away, a time to tear, and a time to repair. That means there are some relationships that have to be torn up. But then there'll be a time to repair it. Then he goes on. A time to be quiet. I want all the women to read that verse. Now, that is not to suggest that you talk to her, but that's not what I'm saying. I want the women to read that verse. Go ahead. And? That's right. Now, I want all the men to read the next verse. Keep going. Now, one deals with the sociology of the human, the instinctive responses, which are more feminine. The other deals with action, which is more masculine. Women tend to be reactionary. Men are the leaders, which means the instigators. Women will respond to your love, but the man must initiate the love. I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about initiating the love of 1 Corinthians 13. This is why the Bible says husbands, love your wives. Initiate it. There's a time for it. Now, hating doesn't mean that you go around and hate people. But he's saying here, there's a time for loving actions, and then there's a time for challenging actions. There are times you have to set order. As the man of the house, you are called to be the Lord, small l, of that house. To set the order for the children and your wife in a loving way, not dictatorial. I ain't going to church with you, honey. Honey, I love you. And nothing would please me more than to have you by my side. This is where God called us to be. And if you are not going to be with me, then I'm going to pray that the Lord will cause you to see it through my eyes. But I cannot allow you to take me someplace that God has not called me. And as the leader of this family, you have to go with me. And the children are going with me. Now, I love you, but this will not happen. No yelling, no screaming, no bad names. Just leadership. But see, we live under that happy life, happy wife, happy life foolishness. No. There's been plenty of times that I've made my wife unhappy. I have not done everything she's wanted. Because as the head, as the leader, I can see what she cannot see. And so there are times, no, we're not doing that. We were going on a vacation one year, someplace that she was aching to go. And so we went to God and prayed. And sometime later, the Lord spoke to me and said, tell them you can't go. And I told her, the Lord said, we're not going. I know she was disappointed, but the next week, they had an earthquake where we wanted to go. And it hit the side of the building that we were going to be staying in. And in the very room on the corner that we had was ripped off the building. Now, if she had been one of those Moabite women and challenged me, well, I'm going anyway. I don't care if you don't go. I'd be a widow today. So there's a time to love and a time to say, no, babe, that's not going to happen. Brothers, we got to change. Listen to what he says. He says, there's a time for war and a time for peace. All right, fine. He says, but what does one really get from hard work? Satisfaction. He never answers this question. But the answer is satisfaction. When you work hard, when you truly at the end of the day, you say, I've given my employer my best. I've given my God my best. I have never walked out the pulpit of God without saying to him, I've given you my all. I have never stepped out the pulpit thinking, wow, I could have done better. No, I give my all to God and to God's people. Satisfaction. You must change. You must change. Watch this. Deuteronomy 28. Now listen to this. In Mark chapter 2, verse 21. You go to Deuteronomy 28, but just listen to Mark 2. No man sews a piece of new cloth on an old garment. Else the new piece that filled it up takes away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And nobody puts new wine in old bottles or wineskins. Else the new wine bursts the bottle and the wine is spilled and the bottles will be destroyed. He said, but new wine must be put into new bottles. Now, obviously, Jesus isn't talking about glass or aluminum or plastic. It's a leather. It was made out of the bladder of a goat or a lamb. They would sew it together. They would allow it to dry. And when it was new, they could put wine in it. Wine was juice that had been left to ferment. And when the fermentation took place, it causes expansion. And so if it's a new wineskin, the skin would expand with the fermentation. But if it was an old wineskin, as the wine would expand, it would burst. Now, if you notice the text here, when Jesus talks about the skins, the text says he immediately goes in to a Sabbath day challenge. What he is going to reveal about the Sabbath day is wine, new wine. The conflict that he has with the Pharisees is that they are old wineskins. And so they can't grasp the new doctrine of freedom because they were still operating in bondage, control. You see, when a pastor feels that they are losing control of the people, they tighten control by telling you who you can fellowship with because they're afraid that you may go from them. But all souls belong to God. There are only four people that have to be here. Me, Lady Lambert, our daughter, and our godson. They're the only ones that have to be here. Everybody else, God sends. He sends you to Bethel or through Bethel. But you are not mine. Jesus said, old wineskins can't handle new doctrine. And what was the doctrine? The doctrine here wasn't the abolishment of the Sabbath day. It was the expansion of the freedom that Jesus came to bring. See, for years you were told you were going to hell if a woman wore pants, according to Deuteronomy 22:5. But that's not true. So you were in bondage. And when someone says, no, you're not going to hell for wearing pants, oh, you ain't teaching the Bible, that's because you're an old wineskin. Do you actually think that God will send someone to hell for their clothes? That's not, in fact, this might surprise you. God doesn't send anyone to hell. You're born with a ticket. That's why it's called I've been saved. Now, where does God send people? To the lake of fire. He casts them into final judgment. But we're all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We're all on our way to hell when we're born. Brand new baby, never smoked a cigarette, never drank a shot of liquor, on your way to hell. Never told a lie, just a pure little infant, on your way to hell because of a sinful nature. So it's not what you do that takes you to hell. It's what you don't do. If you don't come to Jesus, if you don't give your life to him, you're going to hell. But God didn't send you. Adam did. Through the disobedience of one man, all were made sinners. And contrarywise, through the obedience of one man, many are declared righteous. Listen carefully. I'm going to give you some new wine. Some of you old wineskins, you're just going to have to change. Jesus didn't come to condemn a soul. We were already in condemnation. Jesus didn't preach against homosexuality. He did not preach against abortion. He did not lead demonstrations. He knew that if I can change the heart of a man, his behavior will follow. Oh, he talked against sin, but he talked against sin because it's a relationship killer between us and God. And when you continue down the path of sin, it'll lead you into physical destruction and spiritual destruction. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. But Jesus came to change your heart. Jesus didn't come to take the cigarette out your mouth. He came to take it out your heart. And if your heart is right, then your outside will be right. Jesus said, don't spend so much time making the outside pretty, but the inside. I need you to change. I need you to change. Now listen to this. This new doctrine, freedom, is really what the doctrine is in Mark 2. He's trying to teach freedom. But we like bondage. We need to change our minds. What do I need to change my mind about? Or should I say, in relationship with? Deuteronomy 28. How many of you in here today want God to bless you financially? You want God to bless you physically. You want God to deliver you from certain emotional defects. You want God to deal with your children. I would hazard a guess and say that all of us in here want God to do something. And maybe 75 to 80% of us want God to do something financially. So you're tired of living substandard. Here's a $5 bill. I don't know what it would buy. I think it'll buy a cup of coffee and a croissant at Dunkin' Donuts. I think it will. Now, Martin, pray, Martin. Ask God for a cup of coffee and a croissant from Dunkin' Donuts. Father, please give me a cup of coffee and a croissant from Dunkin' Donuts. Martin, pray and ask for a cup of coffee and a croissant from Dunkin' Donuts. Now, I'm God. Do you notice I'm not going back to him anymore? The Lord don't take blessings back, but I do. Now, do you get my point? You keep going to God asking, but look here. Deuteronomy 28. And it shall come to pass that if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord to do his commandments, he said, here's what I'm going to do. Verse 2, these blessings will come on you and overtake you if you listen to what I say. So, why don't, I'm going to just use a rational number. Why don't you have the hundreds of thousands of dollars that you've been asking God for? The devil holding back my blessing. Really? Can he? The ingredient here is change your mind. Listen to what I tell you to do. And then when you see the blessings, they go into every area of your life. He even talks about your children. So it would appear that if I'm not walking in the level of blessing that I've been asking for, I have not realized that I have it. Malachi, verse 6. Okay. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you. Now listen to the question. They say, what shall we do to return? The King James says, wherein? What do we need to do to return to you? Do you notice here, they're saying, we want to return. We want to come back to you. But what should we do? Listen to the Lord. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, how have we robbed you? He said, in tithes and offerings. As a result, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be provisions in my house. And prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And there will not be room enough to contain it.
and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time, and all nations shall call you blessed. You see the ingredient? So, if you are not having blessings poured out upon you that you cannot contain them, it's because you're not tithing. Because your mind is closed to it. Because you say, I can't afford to do it. You say, I can't afford to give God a tenth. Now, that's not the injury part. The injury part is when you say you can't do it, then you're saying God lied. And he asks me to do something that I cannot do. And if God is a liar, none of us are saved. And I'm saved. So he's not a liar. So apparently, if you go back to Deuteronomy 28 and you read that, he makes one bold statement that you should have the ability to lend. We borrow so much that we go to God and ask God to bless us to be in debt. We actually go to God and ask, Lord, touch the heart of the person that I'm trying to get this loan from. Touch them, Father. Why are you asking God to touch someone to give you a loan? Think about it. If he's that powerful to touch somebody to give you a loan that you don't qualify for, why can't he just give you the money? But right here is where it's formed. We actually do not believe God. We don't. There are people who prophesy that don't believe what they prophesy. You can't prophesy something and then not want God to do it to somebody else. That was Eli's problem. Eli preached the holiness of God, but then he didn't want God to judge his sons. You can't stand on the word of God and not believe what he said. You can't call God a liar. But hear me, it's not your fault. You need to change your mind. We're going to explore how to undertake the most drastic thing in your existence, changing how you think, to develop the spiritual mind.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1116A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.